Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MB Om podcast. I'm Amanda and I'll be your host for this and all episodes of the show. This week on the podcast, I am super excited to be joined by Sandy Fernandez, who is a yogi, a yoga teacher, super passionate about the business of yoga, and she's also the author of a new book entitled Karmic Currency, Chakras, and Money. And on this episode, we're talking a lot about money mindset, how to unblock chakra energy to manifest success and abundance in business and in personal lives, and just diving deep into the business of yoga as always. But before we get into today's episode with Sandy, I've got Lindsay here for today's Schedulicity Hot Tip of the Week.
Hello, yoga business badasses. This is Lindsay with Schedulicity. When you enable Schedulicity's payment add-on for your yoga studio, you can see exactly how and when money flows into your business. Your transactions are easy to filter, and they're all in one place, so you'll never have to guess or estimate. You'll have full access to our custom reports that allow you to see how your classes and workshops perform. When gathering information is easy and fast, you can dedicate that extra energy to making informed decisions that will benefit the future of your work.
As always, thank you so much to Schedulicity for sponsoring the podcast and sharing these amazing tips for you guys. Make sure that you're reaching out to them or reaching out to me if you have any questions. They're seriously such an amazing software. It's like a one-stop shop for your yoga business for a really affordable rate. And I know that's something I get asked about all the time in the private Facebook community is, you know, what software should we use if we're yoga teachers and not yoga studios looking to spend like $150 on something like Mindbody Online. So schedulicity.com to check that out. And now without further ado, here is Sandy. Welcome to the podcast today, Sandy. I'm super excited to have you here with me today.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's so exciting to be on your podcast.
Yeah. And I'm stoked to be talking with you too. We had a call last week and just realized like how aligned we are with kind of the things that we kind of believe within the yoga industry. And you have so much knowledge to share. So I'm excited to dive into that. But I was thinking a good place to start is backing up a little bit and talking about your yoga story. So can you share how you first got into yoga?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, kind of like everybody else, I think for a long time, I always thought yoga was really boring, you know? So I had a really good girlfriend that was very into yoga at the time, and she was always trying to drag me to class, and I would always tell her no. I'd always tell her, no, it's boring. I don't want to do that. You know, like I can't sit still. I need like aggressive sports. You know, I'd like to do kickboxing and all kinds of nonsense. So finally, one day I just kind of caved and I was like, fine. You know, I just got tired of her asking me to go. I was like, fine, I'll go. And I'm in Miami, so it's constantly 85 degrees here in the shade. And she dragged me to a hot yoga class.
Yikes.
So imagine. Yeah, it was even hotter and it was the middle of the summer. But you know what, Amanda, it was so funny because from the time that we started, at first I was like, okay, this is still a little weird. Like, I know I shouldn't have come. But by the end of the class, I had completely fallen in love with the practice. And I was just so, you know, moved by the whole process. And the teacher was so perfect. And she was so beautiful in everything that she was saying and how she was talking. And, you know, she was using all these beautiful cues. And, you know, when I finished the class, I just sat there, you know, in that yogi high that we get right when we come out of, you know, Shavasana. And I said, wow, you know, I can't believe I didn't come any sooner. Mm-hmm. And that's really how, you know, my first going to yoga class went. And then from there, obviously, I started going more and more and more. And, you know, I went through a divorce and I went through, you know, changing jobs and kind of going into being a single mom. And the more that life would kick my butt, the more that the mat would call me and the more that I would crave that feeling of just peace this feeling of like zen that I only got when I was on my mat. And I know a lot of yogis experience this. When you just get on your mat, you just you just let it all out. And my body slowly just started to crave that. And that's how, you know, through that journey and that process, I just really started to connect to yoga and as a whole. And that's really then, you know, how I decided to really pursue becoming a yoga teacher. And it was really my escape. I was, you know, in corporate banking. I was, you know, this high profile VP. I was all stressed out all the time. And the yoga studio was right across, you know, the office for me at the bank where I was working. So I would just cross the street, go to class, and then come home. And it was really just a beautiful, beautiful journey, it was falling in love, really. It's really what I did.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love hearing that. And I wasn't like that high profile in my career that I was doing, but I also kind of really fell in love with yoga when I was in corporate. And I can totally relate to that feeling of like getting on your mat and like taking a deep breath for the first time in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because when I went through my yoga teacher training, you know, obviously this is really where you delve a lot deeper into the whole practice and the whole understanding. So I would start to connect to my breath, and I'd be in like these corporate meetings at the bank, and all of a sudden I'd be taking a deep breath in and just exhale. And everybody in the room is like looking at me and they're like, Sandy, are you okay? And I say, yeah, I'm okay. Why? And they're like, because you just did a really big sigh. And, you know, sigh is usually something's wrong with you. And I would start laughing. I was like, no, I'm just connecting to my breath. It's okay. And they're like, oh, that's right. You're like a yoga teacher now.
That's so funny. It's also, it brings up like something that's kind of sad. Like the fact that, you know, the average person at that point in time is like, why are you sighing? Like, that's alarming. Like, I wish that was more of a standard sort of practice. It's like, oh, we're stressed. Like, we clearly just need to breathe deep for a sec.
Yeah, exactly. And imagine in a corporate meeting, you're sitting there and you're listening, you know, again, I was in banking. So you're listening to all this, and really it's kind of boring. You're listening to all these, you know, numbers and, you know, profit statements and revenue generation and blah, 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 and all this stuff that happens, you know, in the finance world. And you let out a big breath like that, and people are like, oh my God, somebody is going to have a strong talking to after this meeting, because nobody wants to hear it. But it felt so good.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
To just, you know, get into my space and just, you know, breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, like, what was it like taking your yoga teacher training while you were working in this like high profile corporate job? Like, how did you kind of balance that on top of being a mom? And what was that experience like?
Yeah, it was really hectic. It was really hectic. But I was really very fortunate that my entire life, I live in this small little pocket on Miami Beach, which is actually a little island. So my entire life is really like not even a 2 mile radius. So I was very, very, very blessed that my kids' school was right behind the office where I was working. And the yoga studio that I was taking my yoga teacher training was literally across the street. So I would, you know, leave at, you know, 4:35, you know, from the bank, run home, you know, run to the school, pick up the kids from after care, go home, because I lived, you know, a few blocks from there as well, take them home, make dinner, leave the boys there for a little bit. I mean, they were bigger. They were, you know, 12 and 14, so they weren't babies. You know, make dinner, set them up with their homework, and then I'd go over to the yoga studio and spend the afternoon there. And you know, but it was hectic. And really the most hectic part was dealing with the emotional chaos that went with it. But it was the part that I needed the most. You know, the universe brings you exactly the area that you need to fix. For me, it was in just about the yoga poses and mastering my handstand or floating into a crow position. It was really gaining control over my emotions, because I was going through so much at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember, you know, there was one time that I drove to the yoga studio and I was just crying the whole way there because I was just so stressed. I'm like, I'm doing all this shit alone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's heavy. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's all this stuff where just reality really just, you know, it kicks your butt. And, you know, I got onto the yoga mat, and as soon as I walked into the studio, just wiped my tears. And I was like, all right, girl, suck it up, you know? And that day we just learned about, you know, how we have to really reflect, you know, and learning, you know, ahimsa, being nonviolent with ourselves, and just practicing love and just being patient, understanding that I was going through a whole period of transition at the same time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I would say, I mean, yoga for real saved my life. Because, wow. I mean, it was, yeah, it was really just a really, really hectic time for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I definitely understand that. And once you graduated yoga teacher training, did you start teaching right away? Or what was that transition, you know, being corporate and into being a teacher?
You know, it's funny because when I took my yoga teacher training, I never took it with the intention of really ever teaching full time as a career. You know, a lot of people come into the yoga world and obviously they love yoga and that's why they pursue yoga teacher training. But some people go into yoga teacher training because they want to teach yoga and they want to make this their career. So for me, it was very, very different. So I didn't start teaching right away. The studio was, you know, pretty full. They already had a lineup of teachers. So I started doing some donation-based classes on the beach. Because obviously, like I said, I live here on Miami Beach. So I started doing some donation-based classes just to kind of get my feet wet and started to build my own, like, little following. And I started getting actually a lot of people from work asking me a lot of questions about yoga once they found out that I had graduated from yoga teacher training. Then they became really curious. Then mm-hmm. kind of people started opening up and they're like, you know, I've always wanted to try yoga. I really need to stretch.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, I'm really tight. And I'm like, yeah, you think? Because you're hunched over your computer all day. So they would see me like doing, you know, like in my chair, I'm like in my chair twisting and like moving my shoulders. And I'm in my office, like stretching my arms up. People think I'm yawning. And I'm like, no, I'm just stretching. I'm moving my body. This is like stagnant energy. I can't be sitting here at my desk anymore.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, and my office was like a glass bubble. It was all glass. So, you know, people that were walking in and out of the bank could totally see me.
You're like in there doing a low lunge.
Yeah. No, I have a picture and it's somewhere. Maybe I'll share it on Thursday for my, for my Throwback Thursday on Instagram, where I'm actually doing like a side crow behind the teller line at the bank. Like you can see the whole teller line and my teller's balancing and I'm like in a side crow.
That's so awesome. That's amazing. Yeah.
But you know how new yogis are. We're like, oh my God, look at this beautiful tree. Let me do a yoga pose here.
And oh yeah, for sure. It's like
start taking pictures everywhere.
Yeah, it's like I can do something cooler than just standing here now. I'm going to do that.
So yeah, that's kind of how that, you know, unraveled. But you know, it was cool and it was always, you know, fun. And I brought yoga to my staff, to my team. When I was doing the yoga teacher training, we had like an employee appreciation week at the bank. And one afternoon I just had one of my girlfriends come who was already a yoga teacher and bring like a bunch of yoga mats. And we did yoga in the lobby after we closed, obviously.
Yeah.
The bank, I had my staff, you know, bring all their comfy clothes and, you know, we did some gentle, obviously, cause they were, you know, non-yogis. But it was nice and they really enjoyed it. And I actually, interesting story that I just thought of, my assistant at the bank, she had been with the bank probably now 38 years.
Wow.
She's, I want to say she's like 72 cause she's a little bit older than my mom. So I was 35 at the time at the bank. And this was my assistant who was my mom's age, you know, 70.
Yeah.
And she's a recovering breast cancer survivor, and she just had like a lot of health issues. And like I said, the yoga studio was across the street. So I would allow her to take an hour, you know, like paid. I mean, I was a maverick. I used to get in trouble all the time at work. but I would totally tell her, just go to the yoga studio, because we had this one girl that taught at the studio. She was her class was like yoga church, you know,
just like so therapy would, going there.
yes. And it was a restorative class on top of that. So I would let my assistant go an hour, you know, during this class, you know, she only taught that class twice a week. So I would let her go for the hour across the street to do that restorative class. you know, and I would just tell her, don't worry, just don't punch out or anything. You could take it paid. You could take your lunch hour when you get back. Mm-hmm. You know, because I just felt so strongly, you know, about the practice, and she needed it and she loved it. She loved it. We still talk, you know, my old assistant. She still works there too, by the way.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And she asked me all the time. She's like, oh, when are they going to have that class again?
Yeah, that's amazing. So you start teaching your coworkers and you're teaching a little bit. At what point do you decide, like, I want to pursue yoga and I don't want to be in banking anymore?
You know, it's funny because I have a picture. And you know what? We have to be so careful what we say, because everything that we say goes out into the universe and it comes back. Mm-hmm. We are constantly manifesting things unconsciously, consciously, with our words, with our thoughts. So I want to say it was probably because I've had my company now, Karmic Currency, about 2 years. So probably about 3 years ago. I was working, like I said, at the bank here, you know, close by, and my whole, like, little Mrs. Cleaver, you know, living in a bubble. Mm-hmm. And I got recruited from this other community bank, and they recruited me, and I was really happy where I was, you know, like I said, I mean, life was, you know, was good. I was happy. But man, they called me and they recruited me. They, you know, offered me a 6-figure salary. They gave me a ridiculous sign-on bonus. To launch this new office, probably about 30 minutes, you know, out from where I am. And I said, listen, you guys are making it really hard for me to say no. You know, I mean, I'm a single mom and this is a lot of money, you know, that you guys are throwing at me. So I said, yes. And Amanda, within what, maybe 2 weeks of me being at that job, I was freaking miserable. Miserable. I hated it. I was like, why did I leave my old job? You know, this is, the grass isn't greener on the other side. I didn't even want to go to work. Mm-hmm. So one day, I was, you know, I had, again, you know, a lot of flexibility at work, you know, with my position to be out, you know, and visit clients. So I didn't have to be tied to an office. But this one particular morning, I kind of goofed off a little bit and I went to yoga. And I'll never forget it because it's actually on my Instagram. I took a picture in my yoga clothes, you know, like one of these mirror selfies. And I was like in leggings and, you know, and yogi clothes. Mm-hmm. And I literally wrote on that picture, I said, I cannot wait till I can work all day in my yoga clothes and not have to be in a corporate environment. And it was probably 6 months after that, if it was even 6 months, I'd have to actually really check the timeline. That bank that recruited me, they fired me. And they let me go. They called me in the office one day and they're like, we don't think that we're a good fit. And I had already started building my company, Karmic Currency. I had already started to kind of build my own exit strategy. But because of the, you know, the banking world, I didn't want the company that I was building to be seen as a conflict of interest. If they Googled that I had a corporation, if they Googled my name, because banks are very highly regulated. I mean, you're under the magnifying glass. So I started building this holistic company, which I built Karmic Currency, the energy behind business and finance. So I started building, you know, how I was going to coach people through yoga, to manifest abundance and to create a better business, and a healthier, more holistic lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So when these people, you know, fired me, of course, like, who wants to get fired? You know, I drive home and, you know, I'm crying and I'm like, oh, I can't believe I got fired. But man, the universe spoke to me and said, you're ready. This is it. You know, this is what you've been asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, and now I give it to you and you're going to freak out now.
Typical human reaction.
Exactly. And I took, you know, that big, deep yogi breath and I just kind of got grounded and I cleared my thoughts and I meditated and I said, you know what? Yes. You know, now's the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started teaching more often. You know, I started picking up more classes because obviously now I had more time to teach. I could teach during the day. I could teach in the morning. Before, if I taught, it had to be on a weekend or at night. Mm-hmm. So now I had more flexibility. I picked up more teaching and, transferred all my financial licenses to other corporations and started reaching out to different clients and started building, you know, my blogs and my website and, you know, working on the book and really just starting to pursue all my passions. Mm-hmm. You know, took out all the money from my 401k and I was like, all right, you know, ride or die. This is it. Amazing. You know, failure is not an option.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it all took off. And here we are 2 years later. And it's been, you know, a crazy ride, but it's been amazing. It has been an absolutely amazing, amazing journey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's so inspiring to hear. And I think, I mean, nobody, like you said, nobody wants to be laid off, but I feel like there's actually like so much that we can glean from being let go. And it sounds like in your situation, like, you probably would have like held on to that job until you were like, okay, I'm like 100% ready to transition into this business. But I think it's just like, it's almost like doing you a favor, right? Like it pushed you into the place that you needed to go. Like, I think it was looking back, it's like probably a really, really, like it's a blessing for sure.
Absolutely. And if you look at, you know, anybody who's had any success in life will always tell you that their greatest success came after their biggest adversity. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny because yesterday and, you know, by the time obviously that this podcast airs, it'll be, you know, sometime from the actual today. But, you know, yesterday I posted that I kind of woke up and I was like in this really weird funk. I just woke up and I was just discouraged and just bummed out with everything. And I was like, what am I doing? And even my coffee tasted like crap. Like it was just a bad day.
Yeah. Really, you know, it's a bad day when your coffee doesn't taste good.
Exactly. And I thought about it and I said, you know what? This is the moment where they define what our future is going to be. And this is kind of the moment where a lot of people stumble. Is they let that failure or they let that adversity just kind of define them and they live in that moment instead of growing from it and taking that energy and making something beautiful from it. So you can have a bad day. Everybody can have a bad day. You know, like yesterday I had it and people were like, why are you you're not allowed to have a bad day. Are you okay? You know, you're doing amazing things. And I'm like, I know that. But I'm human, you know, I have feelings. Mercury's in retrograde. There's a full moon. There's a new moon this week. Like there's a lot of things happening. Totally. You know, I'm a woman. I get emotional once a month. You know, I'm entitled to be one day in my feelings. The difference is how you react to that.
Yeah.
You know, and really moving forward, not getting stuck in that bad moment forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And so I'm curious with your business as you were building it, you know, what was it that kind of drew you to creating a business where you're helping people with money, finances, and chakras? Like, I know obviously your background was in banking, but was there something that kind of like made you see like, oh, there's a need for this in this space. There's a need for this in the industry. Or what was kind of that inspired you to create like that particular business?
Well, it's funny, and I know you and I talked about it, and it's when I did the yoga teacher training, one of the first things that popped into my head was when we went over the business of yoga chapter through yoga teacher training, and I was really excited about it, and I know that you and I kind of spoke about this offline.
We're such dorks. Really? We're like the only ones excited about the business of yoga training.
I know.
Because, I love it.
Because if you have like any type of corporate or any type of like business savvy, or you really want to, you know, kind of take things to a next level, it's just important. At the end of the day, people say love makes the world go round, but so does money, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like super excited. I'm like, yes, today we're going to go over the, you know, business of yoga. And I was like super psyched. And literally it was three sentences. Right, no joke. I think I told you I'm gonna take a picture of it and I'm gonna share it. Like what I learned. This was the business of yoga in yoga teacher training. It was teach donation based classes. Yoga studios are gonna pay you anywhere from $5 per student, like in tiers, or just a flat fee, maybe $30-$40, and have insurance so that you don't hurt anybody. And like don't teach headstands because people could hurt their necks. And you could get sued. I mean, like,
how is that even like a business?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mine was really similar. It was like, you need to have insurance. And I think it was also like, you should have a teaching resume, but we never actually went into detail about what that should look like. Right. And I think there was one other thing, but I remember just being like, really? Like, is that it? But like I told you, it was like, and maybe you were in the same boat. Like, I didn't know the questions to ask. Like, I didn't know what I needed to ask because I didn't know anything about like the yoga teaching space.
Right. Right. Well, and they also told me, oh, you can get on the Yoga Alliance, you know,
get that.
But I mean, it was so superficial that, I mean, listen, I can make a more complex, like buttering my toast in the morning than what I learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I saw that, I kind of heard in my head, I heard wah, wah, wah. I said, oh my God, this is horrible. And I kind of looked around and I realized that, you know, the lady who owned the yoga studio, she, not that she wasn't, you know, savvy with business, obviously she was running a successful yoga studio, but clearly she wasn't equipped to maybe explain the day-to-days on how to do that. And as I looked around the classroom, I also saw too a mixed crowd of people. There were some people that were a little bit older in their mid-30s, same as I was. And then there was one girl that was still in high school. She was in her senior year. There was another girl that was probably in her early 20s. And I'm looking around going, these poor people are just clueless. I mean, and who survives off of $5 a student? Mm-hmm. I mean, how are these people gonna pay themselves? How are these people gonna make money? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to build the business of yoga course for, you know, for the yoga studio. And I started pitching it to other yoga studios. Because at this point, I had already been kind of bouncing around to all the different yoga studios and going to all the different classes because, you know, we got to get our 200 hours. And obviously, I loved it, so I was going everywhere. And so I started pitching the business of yoga to a lot of different studios. And I think I mentioned this to you, too, offline. I was really surprised to see the apprehension in a lot of yoga studios not wanting to offer the business of yoga course mm-hmm. in their studios.
What was some of the biggest like pushback that you got from that? Like when you're pitching a yoga studio, for example, you know, what was kind of those conversations like? Was it just like, no, I'm not interested? Or was it like, no, we shouldn't be blending business and yoga? Or what was that?
You know, interestingly enough, for me personally, I found that it was a little bit more ego versus really anything else. Mm-hmm. Because everybody that I spoke to was like, oh yeah, no, I have a really good, you know, business of yoga plan. We've been really successful. And, you know, we have, you know, I've had a very successful, you know, yoga career and I know how to teach people, mm-hmm. you know, and again, who am I to argue?
Right.
So, and again, thank God that I was doing yoga teacher training because that was a whole another side of me that needed so much work because before I probably would have, you know, just been super argumentative.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Probably a good thing in life in general, but yeah. Yeah, I think, and we talked about this, like I've always been like a little bit, especially coming into the space as like a new yoga teacher that has this like gut feeling that something's off when it comes to business. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't want to come in like super hot with your ideas. Like you kind of want to like understand the industry, kind of like see other people's sides of it and then kind of formulate like, okay, is this actually a good offering? Am I actually doing something that's beneficial? So I definitely understand kind of like getting that pushback and then standing back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, you know, again, but I'm watching, you know, these particular people and I'm thinking to myself, okay, but I mean, again, success, you know, is defined from a personal lens, you know, and abundance as well. And that's something that I teach is defined by a personal lens. If you define success and abundance based on monetary gain, you know, then that's your definition. But some people define success and abundance by just, you know, having health and friendships and love, you know, mm-hmm. and plenty of yoga. So, you know, a lot of those are by definition. But I just found it so interesting because I'm looking and I'm sitting telling myself, I'm like, okay, but you teach and you're running the same circle as the lady who taught my yoga teacher training, and you teach at that studio, and I know that you don't have any business of yoga structure because you got it from her. So, so it was very interesting, you know, just to kind of see that pushback. And every time I would reach out to like a new yogi, I would ask them, hey, how was the business of yoga section? They're like, oh, I don't know, we haven't covered it yet. Or when they did, they said, oh, I don't know, it was really weird. I didn't really get it. They just said that we had to do this. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so how do you feel that you're going to promote yourself as a yoga teacher? How do you think you're going to be able to earn money, you know, being a yoga teacher? Have you calculated how many classes you have to teach in order to make the salary that you want? Do you know how much money you want to make? And it all of a sudden I got the deer in headlights.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, mic drop. I told you so. But, you know, I stepped back and then I, you know, I was like, okay, fine. We'll kind of leave this alone. And that's when I met Kino, I was writing for a magazine here in Miami, and I interviewed her for her new book, The Yogi Assignment. And as we were talking and we were kind of doing the interview, this, you know, business of yoga came up, and that's how, you know, I was able to set this up with her because she felt the same way.
Right.
You know, and I said, well, this is great. Like, who better platform, you know, than to be able to really share all this knowledge with new yogis, with people coming into the yoga, you know, industry, on what business is and how to really not just run a successful, you know, yoga business and how to promote yourself, but really how to manage your finances too. You know, breaking down your annual income to how many classes do you have to teach a week? How to, you know, turn, you know, bring in yoga retreats and how to leverage, you know, workshops, you know, to kind of offset the pay gaps. And, you know, so much, you know, how to set up your corporation, how to, you know, pay your taxes. When do you need to pay your taxes? I mean, there's just so much stuff.
Yeah.
That nobody was talking about.
Totally.
And I was just really excited to finally be able to create that content and really bring it on really a larger scale and to a much more broad audience, which is how, when I found you, I was like, oh my God, there's somebody out there doing this.
Somebody else feels the same way.
Yeah. I was like, I knew there was people like us out there.
Totally. Yeah. It's always nice to have that experience. And yeah, that's really amazing to hear. So I'm curious, like, so your book is on chakras and money. And so
yes.
I think you do a really good job at like blending the spiritual aspect of yoga with the business side of yoga. Can you talk a little bit about like how you blend those two and then how you connect chakras with money?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, when I was going through the yoga teacher training and learning about chakras, and I had always, even prior to the yoga teacher training, I've always had, you know, my own spiritual gifts, and, you know, I'm a clairvoyant. And so ever since I was a kid, I've always had those gifts. So, you know, chakras and kind of this new age, you know, stones and things that, you know, we do kind of in that yogi circle wasn't necessarily foreign to me. But I didn't know really the complexities and really the in-depth details of what the chakra systems were, what they applied to, how they worked. So when I was doing the yoga teacher training, obviously we learn about that. So when I would go to the bank, I would start seeing, you know, connections with my clients on different things. When I would give somebody advice and they wouldn't take it, or I would tell somebody and then they would do it, or people that were just completely disconnected from reality of what was going on, or some people that were just overly paranoid, just so many different scenarios. So I started kind of writing things down, and then I started doing my own like little social experiment with the clients. When they would come in, I would just ask certain questions. And then I would go back to the yoga studio and I was like, hey, what do you guys think about the chakras and how they impact, you know, money and people, how they spend, how they buy. And everybody's response, you know, see, and again, not those in the yoga teacher class per se, because they were learning too, but the more seasoned yogis that had been out there for a longer time than me were like, well, no, only the root chakra has to do with money. And I'm like, really? I don't think so, you guys. And they're going, yeah, it's only because it's, you know, it's power and it's survival and, you know, and that's money. And I'm like, no, there's so many other connections that have to do with this. So here Sandy goes again, being the maverick, pushing the envelope always. So I just start challenging everyone's opinion. And again, you know, kind of fell on deaf ears. And I was like, you know what? Forget y'all. I'm going about this on my own. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, writing and journaling, and I started creating all these like different blog posts. And, you know, the more that I would talk to clients and the more that I would delve into these symptoms and I would ask questions, the more that I started to see, this is a real thing. This is true. You know, I'm not imagining this. This, mm-hmm. you know, this is real. And, you know, eventually once I, you know, obviously once I got fired from that old job and I rolled out Karmic Currency, I started doing, you know, some free like 30-minute, 60-minute sessions with people, because again, I wanted to test the waters and see, you know, how this was working. Mm-hmm. And man, sure enough, people were just having enormous breakthroughs. People were having huge revelations, you know, about their relationships with money and how they were using it and how they were spending. And people just kept coming back and referring their friends and talking to me, and they were like, no, Sandy, this is crazy. I never even thought about it. I never even saw the connection. And before I knew it, you know, my company was growing and growing, and I was doing workshops for chakras and money, and they were getting, you know, filled up, and people were coming and people wanted to know more. And that's when I decided to take everything and put it into the book. And it's very simple. The book is only 107 pages. It's a really light read. I even added at the end of each chapter a blank page for people to, you know, write down their reflections and their notes and kind of their thoughts. I give real world examples about, you know, this is kind of one of the, you know, one of the symptoms that you can have, you know, in this particular chakra. You know, this is, for example, when I work with entrepreneurs, one of the chakras that are most commonly out of whack is the third chakra, which is your solar plexus, is the yellow. And that's your action chakra, and your willpower. And that one, I feel, is most commonly blocked for people who are launching their own business, because they lack that willpower. They lack the action. They lack that momentum to get things done. It's like everything is in their head. Everything is like all this great idea, mm-hmm. but they never put things into action. So once I meet with an entrepreneur and they have all these great ideas, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love it. This is fantastic. What steps have you taken towards it? Oh, I don't know. And then this is where all the excuses start coming in. All the reasons why they can't, or all the reasons why they shouldn't, or all the reasons why they won't. And that's on your third chakra. You know, you don't feel like you're worthy enough. Your self-esteem is, you know, off. You don't feel like you can, or you almost feel paralyzed. Like something is kind of, you know, you're in this neutral, like you rev your engine, but you're not moving anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that. And all of that is symptomatic of blocked energy.
Mm-hmm. So if that is the experience, like how do you unblock that and kind of get that energy flowing and be able to tune into that a little bit more?
So with the people that come see me, and in the book, I give you some examples there too. Definitely I roll out a different plan. So for every person that comes to see me, they get a specific plan for them, but all the plans come with yoga poses that stimulate that particular point. We talk about certain foods that you need to eat. So for example, if we're just going to talk about, the solar plexus, then we do a lot of twists, you know, in yoga poses to stimulate that area. we eat a lot of yellow foods. And I have them as you, you know, at least during whatever meals throughout the day, you're not going to eat all yellow food all day. But whatever it is that you're eating, you want to throw something yellow on there, either, you know, banana, what else is yellow? Squash, corn, you know, anything that you could find. Mm-hmm. So you'll eat that. And as you're eating that, that yellow particular food, you kind of meditate and you visualize that food going into that space. So once you start kind of doing that, and you also, there's meditations that I send them. And then after that, then now we do actionable steps. So I tell them, now that you're aware of your symptoms, and now that you're aware that this is the energy block, when you feel yourself not wanting to do something, you have to do the exact opposite. You have to trigger that, and you have to take action. And action on anything. It doesn't, because when people have a root third chakra block, it's not just towards business. It's towards everything. Mm-hmm. You know, this doesn't go specifically to one behavior. This is people who, you know, probably don't want to work out all the time, or, you know, they just kind of get in that lull and they're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll do it later. It could even just be putting away the dishes in the sink. Mm-hmm. You know, you avoid certain activity because you don't want to. So I tell them, start with the little things. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. I don't expect you to, in one day, go out and start your business and incorporate it and get your tax ID number and start your web page and do all this in the day one. But every day, you have to take one step to come closer to that, to create that, so that your body can start having that energy opening up, that action, that movement, and that willpower that has to come from that space. Mm-hmm. So you have to take an action every single day and be observant of the times where you consciously feel yourself saying, I don't feel like doing it now. That's right. The moment we have to go, oh, this is a third chakra. I gotta get up. I gotta do it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, nobody wants to do laundry. I hate doing dishes. I hate doing laundry, but I gotta do it. You know, but if this is something that's consistently a pattern in your life, then those are things that need to get done, because not acting specifically on financial decisions could cause ramifications. For example, third chakra blocks could manifest, you know, you have a stack of bills that you haven't opened because, you know, you don't want to look at it. That's a big third eye. But also, you know, not wanting to take action with it because you know that it's something that you have to do. You know, that's one of the things that could be symptomatic. Not taking action could be maybe even trying to up your 401k contribution and you haven't done it. That could cost you to lose money. Maybe not setting up a college prepaid for your kids. That could, you know, severely impact you. Lack of decision making on that, you know, could cost you money as your children get older. It gets more expensive. Same with like life insurance. If you've been trying to buy life insurance, you know, for yourself or for your family, those are things that you have to move on quick because mm-hmm. with time they get more and more expensive. So all those are kind of that lack of action, that lack of willpower. We're like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. Those are symptomatic to third chakra blockages.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, obviously I want people to go and buy your book and that sort of thing. So let's not give everything away from the book. But I'm curious, can you go through, like, so we've talked about the root chakras, like the power chakra. So that one's like quite connected to money. Can we go through like the second chakra and that sort of thing and just talk about how each of those are connected?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And, you know, for anybody who's interested and don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, give anything away because, you know, the book, like I said, is really awesome. And it's, you know, a really light, fun read. And I'm always posting about it. And I always talk about it. So no worries. But yeah, so the first chakra is your root chakra, obviously, which is your survival. So people who have root chakra issues are usually people who feel or operate in a moment of lack. These are people who are probably very greedy. These are people who and greed, again, is not, I don't mean it greedy in the negative, perspective, how most people think, but greedy in the sense that they feel like if they give, they're going to not have enough. Right? Mm-hmm. So think about people who shop at Costco or like BJ's or Sam's Club, like these big outlets. Why do we shop in bulk? Why do you buy so much of that stuff? Because you don't want to run out. Right? So this is the same kind of connection that goes with your root chakra. So when you have all this bulk, you hoard and you keep that to yourself. And people do that a lot with money as well. Mm-hmm. Because they feel that if they give, they're not going to have enough. So that's kind of one of the, and again, you know, those symptoms of like feeling like you need to live paycheck to paycheck, because you're in this survival mode, you know, where you just, again, are operating from a place of lack. So that's one of the symptoms with the first chakra. With the second chakra has to do with passion. Again, most textbook and traditional will tell you that your second chakra has to do with sexuality. But what comes with sexuality? Passion. So your passion, this is where it comes from. You pursuing your passion, the things that you love, the things that you want to create, ideas that you create come from your second chakra. So a lot of times when people come to me that they're like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Excuse me. I don't know what I want to do. I say, okay, well, you need to connect to your passion. Like what sparks, you know, what makes you want to get up in the day? If you could do anything in this world, money not being a factor, what would it be? And that's where that is hidden. For women, we have very powerful second chakras because we give life. We, you know, we birth, we create. So for women, we have very, very powerful second chakras, and it's up to a woman specifically to bring that energy upwards, to bring it forward and bring it out into reality. Mm-hmm. Then you have your third chakra, which, like I mentioned before, your third chakra is your willpower. It's your, you know, your ability to act and to do. And then from here, it's always, you know, very important to take action whenever you feel like you're stagnant, whenever you feel like you're not doing anything or you don't want to do it, you need to do it. Again, you know, this, the solar plexus is really important, one of the most popular ones, because if you delay financial decisions, it could impact you negatively. Like I mentioned before, life insurance or maybe paying off debt, you know. Sometimes you just, you know, like, oh, I'll get to it, I'll pay it, eventually I'll do it. And let's say you have the money, but you haven't done it. So those are the types of things that you get with that. Okay, the fourth chakra, super fun, the heart chakra. I did so much work with this heart chakra. I should just write a whole other book just on the heart chakra.
Yeah, do it. I'm sure it's a big one.
That one will be. But it's interesting because the heart chakra is like, the same way that your physical heart works in real life, pumping blood throughout your entire body, is the same way that your heart chakra works throughout energetically throughout the whole body. So your heart chakra connects all the energy from the three lower chakras to the top three chakras. It's super important to make sure that your heart chakra is very, very healthy. Heart chakra, when it comes to money, comes a lot with emotional spending. This is, you know, you see something and you're like, oh my God, I love this. I have to have this. And no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need a fifth pair of black high heels. No, you don't. You know, you don't need another pair of Lululemons. You know, you don't need another this or another that. You already have. But it's an emotional spending. And again, the heart chakra is a topic that I could just like do a whole thing on. The heart chakra also has a lot to do with, you know, obviously our feelings, our emotions. So there's a lot of times, if we've been hurt in our past, if we feel like there's a void in our life for whatever reason, a lot of times people use money to cover that and to fill that gap, to fill that void, because spending money and buying things releases endorphins. So every time that we buy and every time that we spend, we release, you know, those endorphins. So it's very important for us to take into consideration when we're buying things, what energetic space we're coming from. Mm-hmm. The next one is your throat chakra, which is obviously for communication, writing, things like that. And the throat chakra, when it comes to finances, this is when you're not speaking up for yourself. This is when, you know, maybe you're not asking for the raise that you should get. Maybe this is when you're not communicating to your partner about your own personal spending habits or your own debts. This is you not, you know, again, effectively communicating what you want and what you need financially. A lot of times we come into relationships or into businesses and we allow our voices to be silenced for, you know, sometimes we just, you know, maybe, like I said earlier, we don't want to make any waves. We don't want to necessarily cause any trouble, but it's important that we're using our voice, not just to communicate our truths, the way that we tell people, but our truth is also with ourselves. And it's being completely open and honest with yourself as well. Like if you're having financial troubles, it's important to discuss that. As well as if you're having financial success. A lot of people don't discuss money. Money is so taboo. People don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's like they'd rather tell you they met somebody on Tinder and had sex in a dark alley than tell anybody, than tell anybody that they had you know, $25,000 in credit card debt. And by the way, I haven't paid my car in 3 months. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's so true.
You know, and it's very, very important that we become more open to discuss this, you know,
mm-hmm, for sure.
So it's a really big one too. Then third eye, chakra is, you know, obviously the space between your eyebrows, just center of the forehead. The third eye is always really interesting because the third eye is either going to make you be completely delusional, you know, to what the reality of your situations are. Like you're living in la la land. And that happens a lot. People who, and I, one of the things that I write in the book is, you know, when we were kids, our parents, their saying was keeping up with the Joneses. And for us, it's keeping up with the Kardashians. So if you live this life where, you know, you think that you have to keep up to look a certain way and to be a certain thing, especially with yogis, you know, and social media is really, really taken a toll on this because people never post their failures. People are always posting their success. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard when you're measuring yourself because you're looking and you're seeing someone else's success and now you're measuring yourself to that. So, you know, it's very, very interesting when it comes to finances, you know, third eye blocks, you know, again, delusional, you're living above your means, you know, buying things that you can't afford, and knowingly doing it. Also blocks in the third eye is too avoiding, you know, looking at scenarios. Like I mentioned earlier, you have a stack of bills, you don't want to open it because you don't want to look at it. You don't want to face the reality of what's happening in front of you. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we, you know, we avoid it because it hurts. It hurts, mm-hmm. Let's say the heart chakra. You're like, man, I got this credit card bill and, you know, I really liked everything that I bought. Now it hurts your heart because you're like, I don't have the money to pay it. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, absolutely.
It all connects. And then the last one is your crown chakra, which is really beautiful. And it's kind of one of the least tapped in chakras when we talk obviously about money, but it's important that the crown chakra is talked about because the crown chakra is ultimately your connection with the divine and with your God source and the God of your understanding. So that is your overall peace and knowing that you can manifest the life that you want. You can create opportunities. The universe will always provide for you. The universe is infinite. So there's more than enough abundance for everyone and there's more than enough success. We don't have to be greedy and go back to that first chakra. You need to kind of go from the first all the way to, to the crown like a rocket, you know, so that you can connect and know that you will always be provided for and you're mm-hmm. always in the place that you need to be in. So it's kind of the cliff notes.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's super interesting to hear. And I love that you've been able to kind of tie that all together and just really blend that sort of deep spiritual philosophical aspect of yoga with something that's equally as powerful, which is money. If people want to learn more about that or they want to buy the book, where can they go to find that?
So the book is available on Amazon. It's ebook and paperback. I know that if you have an Amazon Prime account, they give you free shipping. So you can definitely get it on there. It's also on barnesandnoble.com. So if you have a Nook or a Kindle, you can download it. Also the ebook version and also paperback. You can, some people want a signed copy. So you can send me an email or message me. They can find me through Instagram. They can send me a DM or they can email me. My Instagram, Facebook is Karmic Currency. And they can message me through there. I have all my links, all my contacts. You know, I'm pretty live and active through all social media realms. So I'm pretty quick to respond, you know, to DMs and obviously and emails. I am planning to roll out a 7-week course, which is going to be an in-depth masterclass that we're going to go over a journey with each specific chakra, one entire week dedicated to one entire chakra. The interesting thing with the book and with the class that I didn't mention is that we do go over your money mindset and your money story, which is very, very interesting for people to understand what their relationship is with money before we can even delve into the chakras. Because everything we know about money, we learn from our parents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our childhood really shapes everything and really who we are as adults. So, you know, we go through a really beautiful guided meditation and we kind of go through this journey as to what is your money story? What did you learn? What did you connect? And that's how we start to kind of connect that with each specific chakra. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm really excited. I get so excited every time I talk about it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. And yeah, I would agree with you. Like money story is so powerful. That was kind of something I was working on quite a bit at the beginning of 2018. And I read some really great books and just started looking at like where my belief system was around money. And I realized that, you know, and no fault on my parents. I feel like they did the best that they did what they thought was best. But I was brought up being like, you don't talk about money, politics or religion.
Right.
And so it was just this type of thing that like I never talked about. It was, you know, exactly what you're talking about. Like it definitely is more socially acceptable to talk about like some sort of, you know, date that you went on, like having sex in a back alley. Like your right. friends are probably more comfortable with you talking about that than you expressing concerns around money or expressing challenges around money. It's just something that we don't talk about. And I found for me, it was like, it was very powerful to just understand that and understand where it came from and acknowledge it and start working through it. Like, I just felt like it's like I opened up this gateway for money to start flowing into my life.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. And that's, you know, really the importance. When I meet with people one-on-one, I even ask them, what's your religious affiliation? Mm-hmm. Because based on whatever religion, you know, people learned as a child, on how they were brought up also shapes your opinion on money. For example, a lot of people were raised Catholic. Catholics were taught that you shouldn't have any money, that you need to give everything away and, you know, money is evil. And, but it's not. But mm-hmm. if you follow, let's say a Christianity, like a Joel Osteen, you know, they talk a lot about prosperity, you know, and different religions, you know, Hinduism or, you know, other religions, again, they, you know, shun money and they talk, they're like, no, you have to give everything away. And that's why a lot of yogis too are very, you know, very diehard yogis. They are very reluctant to discuss money. You know, when yeah. I rolled out the business of yoga, class with Kino on the comments, there was one person that, you know, commented and he wrote, oh, you know, yoga doesn't have anything to do with money and we should really stop trying to monetize, you know, yoga and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I just kind of rolled my eyes and I didn't, you know, write anything on the comment. I was like, Sandy, we're better than that now.
Yeah, it's hard though. Like it's really hard when you firmly believe something and somebody else is like kind of, you know, stuck in a more traditional right. mindset. And I right. think like that's something that I've gotten to, like, I think just in general, like my podcast doesn't really attract those types of people. And I think right. when they do encounter it, they very strongly disagree with pretty much everything that I put out there, which right. is fine. That's yeah. totally yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe it'll resonate at another point in life or maybe, mm-hmm. you know, it just won't. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I see a person, you know, in that particular situation where I tell myself, okay, clearly this is somebody who has other issues, not just issues, you know, with yoga as a business. This is a person obviously who's just angry about other stuff too and clearly has some money stories that they need to work through as well. You know, but I'm not here to, you know, to heal the world per se, but I am here to bring some consciousness and some awareness. I did have one client, who came to me when I was first kind of rolling out, and I did a free consultation for her. And when I, you know, kind of was reviewing her things, and like I mentioned earlier, I'm also clairvoyant. So a lot of times I see beyond what people are saying to me. And, you know, she was adamant that what I was telling her wasn't true. And she was like, no, I don't have that issue. And, you know, I don't have that problem. And we had like another couple sessions to go. I did like a 4-week plan for her. And when we were done, I told her that I couldn't help her anymore. I said, look, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to finish the program with you. And she was like, why? And I said, because, you know, I'm here to help people, but I'm here to help people who want to be helped. And I don't feel that you're being genuine with me. I don't feel that you're being open and you're not being, you know, honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would rather save my time for somebody who really wants the help and who really wants to change.
Right. Yeah, totally.
And it was a tough conversation. It was an uncomfortable situation. We had, you know, mutual friends, and we're still amicable, you know, nothing weird. But I just, you know, had to choose at that time. This is not, you know, the person that I want to invest my time in.
Right.
Because if you're just going to, you know, waste my time. And then on top of that, I'm doing it for free.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, no, sorry, buddy. So, you know, I dropped her as a client, and, you know, people who want to be helped and who really want to change, then I am all here for you. We'll, you know, put in the time, we'll put in the work. And if we got to do overtime, you know, to get you back on track, we will. But, you know, I really want people to have just an open heart and open minds and really heal their relationships with their finances, really learn about business, really learn the areas of their life that they're, you know, being held back and the reasons why, so that they can truly take their business and take themselves to the next level and really truly grow and be successful. Because at the end of the day, the universe wants us to be abundant,
right?
You know, and it's just up to us to walk in that abundance of love and light and prosperity. Again, however it is that you define it. If that's money in the bank, fantastic. If that's love and, you know, clients and teaching more yoga and being healthy, then that's beautiful too. You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I really love that. And yeah, thank you so much for this conversation. This has been so powerful. And I hope that, you know, listeners are open to this conversation and resonating with what you're talking about. Cause I do think it is, you know, a lot bigger of a conversation, but also like a really good start to just what we need to be thinking about and what we need to be sort of manifesting and shifting in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if there's anybody out there that, you know, has a yoga studio and, you know, wants me to bring that workshop, you know, to them, I would love to. You know, if they, you know, want me to send some books to the yoga studios for them to offer, you know, to their students or to their classes, you know, I would love that as well. We can always do stuff, you know, Skype or in person. 'Cause definitely for 2019, I'm definitely manifesting more travel.
Nice.
So I want to be able to, even though everybody always wants to come here.
It's because it's warm there.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's 68 degrees today. It's cold. This is cold by Miami standards.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. But, you know, where I'm from, it's like in the negative Celsius. So
I know. It's horrible. I get cold just thinking about it, Amanda. Don't mention it again.
For sure. Amazing. Well, I'll put links to all of your stuff in the show notes so that people can go check it out and they can find you on Instagram, your website, Facebook, all that good stuff. And
yes.
Yeah, thanks again, Sandy, for this.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It was amazing being on. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the concept. You know, I think that this is so great and, you know, definitely something that, you know, needs to be talked about more. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, love and light, and, you know, plenty of abundance for you and for mastering the business of yoga.
Thank you so much. Yeah, same to you. All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Sandy Fernandez. Make sure you go check her out. Make sure you go check out her course, make sure you go check out her book. And of course, if you have any questions about anything that we talked about, or you're feeling any uncertainty or not sure how to kind of start implementing this in your life, definitely make sure that you're reaching out to her or I. As always, you can find show notes on the website at www.mbomyoga.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And you can join the private Facebook community at Yoga Business Badasses. So just put that in the search bar in Facebook, look it up, and you'll be able to find that pretty easily. Last week, I was talking a little bit about a retreat that I'm going to be hosting this November, so November 2nd to 9th, 2019, in Nusara, Costa Rica. And I'm going to be co-leading that with Megan Farrell from Balance with Megan. And she's somebody, she's a fellow Canadian, first of all, yoga teacher, super passionate about the business side of yoga. And her and I have been chatting for a while now, and we were just kind of talking about how when we first finished teacher training, it was just such a lonely journey to try to figure out like how to become a full-time yoga teacher. And then the light bulb sort of went off of like, why don't we get a small group of like-minded yoga teachers, wellness professionals together? Let's start, you know, getting to know each other and supporting each other. And so we put together this retreat as a way to, one, escape fall / winter if you are Canadian, since November is definitely winter where we're from. And then secondly, to be able to learn about business and expand and grow your business in this sort of supportive, relaxed environment. And so basically the retreat is going to be 7 nights, 8 days of beaches, waterfall hikes, pool time, lots of yoga, and then business workshops. So every single day we're going to be doing a different workshop to kind of expand on your business. So I'll leave that with you guys. If you are interested, you can definitely reach out. Again, it's info@mbomyoga.com. We do have an early bird special that's going until March 15th. So if you do want to save money off of the trip, I would definitely recommend checking it out. All that's due right off the get-go is your deposit. We have lots of payment plans because, you know, we're yoga teachers just like you. We understand that paying it for everything up front can be a bit challenging on the budget. So if you're interested in that, head on over to the show notes. The link will be there, or head on over to mbomyoga.com/retreats. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Okay. Namaste.